And welcome into in-game chat for, what is this, Saturday, March 22nd, 2025. It is season 19, episode number 10. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, it's very easy to do. We got our Discord open up, or you can hit us up on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, find the show. You can just go to our website, ingamechat.net, go down to the bottom. There's a link to our Twitch account. You go over there, you watch the show, you join the chat room. Go to ingamechat.net, go down to the bottom, there's a link to Discord, you join us in the chat room. That's how it all works, and that's how it is. You can also do it the, you know, interesting to call email the old-fashioned way, but you can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and of course we're on the Facebook thing as well, so check us out there if you'd like to, and get this thing a clappity-clap real quick. There we go, and we're off to the show proper. AC Wraith saying y'all survived, no flying cows or trip styles or anything like that. Here locally in the area, yeah, it was all right. Elsewhere around the area and in other parts, not so great. And obviously, you probably heard about, you know, the other states and stuff that had their issues with the weather last week. So yeah, we definitely dodged a bullet here, which we're all very grateful for.
Yeah, so, I mean, difference in effect was vast. I mean, like I told you on the our conversation, the only thing I got was strong wind and a few droplets of rain.
Right,
that was pretty much it. But different, it was a different story in other places.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Yeah. Absolutely was. A lot of wind, but yeah, we got through it. And thank you, AC Wraith, for checking in on us. So, really do appreciate it. What is this? Entertainment has now posted on Steam clarifying that they obtained the rights to a few classic titles, including Big Rig's Over the Road Racing. Okay. Anyway, anytime I get a notification from Wario64. And it's not a, and it's an image of like a very long piece of text or a document or something like that. Like it's a press release that he's posting or something like that. Mm-hmm. I have to look at it. Normally, I can tell you almost within an instant when I look at it that okay, it's a game deal. And then there are the rare times when it's something like so and so has just resigned, you know. And it's and the first thing that pops up on my watch here is whatever image that he posted. Mm-hmm. And so then I got to scroll to see what he's talking about. You know, what is this? And I always pay attention to things like that because sometimes it's something big.
Yeah.
Something huge. Mm-hmm. Not so today, which I'm kind of grateful for. We had big and huge last week. We got big, huge basketball this week. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm good. I'm very, very good. So what did you play, RJ?
Baseball mostly.
MLB the show. The show? Oh, yep. Wait, what? What?
MLB 23. Yeah, MLB 23.
Oh, okay. The show. Yeah. 25 out yet, or is that this week?
Should be out by now.
Is it? It could be. I think it is out. I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't checked up on it. I should, though. But I've been playing that. I'm still playing with the updated rosters and everything. Still playing that. I've also been playing The First Ascendant on PS4 as well. And I just saw the notice from the PlayStation Store that as of June 19th, of 2025, they're going to stop supporting it on the PS4. You got to play it on the PS5. And I was trying to think of a situation where, have you ever seen that before, where a game's on two systems and one gets shelved, unsupported, and the other one keeps going?
I have, and I don't remember which one, though. There is another game, though, that they did it.
Mm-hmm. See, I haven't seen it often, so it was just
And I specifically think it was, again, PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was Xbox. Could have been.
Mm-hmm.
It also could have been EA, where they're like, hey, we're turning off the servers for anybody who's playing on 360 or PS3 or 4 or whatever. But if you're on the newer consoles and on those servers, those are going to stay running.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah.
Or if they're on the PC servers, those are going to stay running. But if you're on, you know, the Xbox or, the older stuff, we're gonna turn those
old
off.
Old generation, yeah, we're going to shut those off soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I haven't seen that situation often.
I hate that.
I can't recall.
Yeah, I hate that they're doing that.
Yeah, that's what it said on the storefront. So I was like, wow, more reason to get a PS5 at this point if that's the case. Because I'm liking First Ascendant. So I keep it playing till as long as I can. Actually,
yeah.
And I got friends online that I'm playing with. So
Have you talked to them? Are they going to make a jump to PS5?
I've got a friend of mine already playing on PS5.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to the others yet, but I will now that I've seen that.
Yeah.
Of course. A little more of Grand Theft Auto Online. That's a lot of work in that Oscar Guzman flight DLC that they put in there.
Yeah.
Man, it's a lot of stuff you have to go through in that, but I think I'll play that like one time and probably won't do it again. I'll probably just go back to the Cluck and Bell farm raid because that's pretty straightforward, and the money payout's pretty good in that so far. So I think I'll still be doing that, but it's at least it's worth playing through one time, seeing how I like that. But I think I saw a video of a playthrough of that, and it looks like a lot of work in there for a little bit
not
more,
a lot of yeah.
a little more cash, but. I could still. I've had more. I think I'd have more fun doing Cluck and Bell, but I'll see for myself.
Yeah, no, you absolutely have to, and things like that. And I've looked at that in. I think I used to do it in Destiny a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would sort of try to be efficient with my bounties,
mm-hmm.
with the things that I would take, so that while doing one, I'm doing others.
Yeah,
and there were some times where it's like, you know, that's just not beneficial. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just gonna get rid of that one and pick up something else later or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not really working to my benefit. It's gonna make me do more than what I should,
mm-hmm.
for a little bit of a reward that I could make just as much from doing this other stuff twice or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's nah. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty much what I've been playing this week.
What about the week before last? Same thing?
Pretty much same thing, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure. For me, it is Marvel Snap, of course. I keep going through that, doing the Snap stuff. And then what else did I play? I'm playing House of Da Vinci 3.
Puzzler?
Yeah, the old Puzzler. Every now and again, I'll fire it up. Really haven't had much of a chance to lately. I didn't think I was going to have, you know, I didn't think I was going to get to play anything last Sunday. I really thought, honestly, that whole day, this whole thing with the weather coming in, I expected us to be without power. I did not expect to be able to post the show like I did, but it just did not happen the way that we thought it was going to happen. So I was able to get around to doing that. So
I think I lost power for like 5 minutes.
We never lost power here at the station, and I don't think I lost any power at the house. Definitely, yeah, not even a flicker that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
But power the next day, no problem. Got the show posted. It took a little bit longer because I got home just a little before 1.
Oh.
Because I was here.
Yeah. You did say it was going to be a long night.
I knew it would, yeah. Well, just because, I mean, the storm may come through the station, where the station's located, the storm may come through there. But we broadcast, our broadcast reaches a lot of places, mm-hmm. and so, especially all eight stations. So we have to stay here and cover for those areas that are still affected.
Yeah.
So we didn't leave until about 12:30 or so, and I got home around 1, and I slept in. I don't normally sleep, but I got up at 10 the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't normally do that, but I got up at 10 the next morning, and it was later that afternoon that I did the editing on the video and all the different stuff, so... Yeah, I was just behind on a lot of things because of that last week. But so I didn't really get to play too much. Like I said, House of Da Vinci 3, it's just kind of, whatever. Played a little bit of that. The big one, of course, obviously, is Avowed. And I'm still playing Avowed. I'm really, man, every time I get to play a good chunk of Avowed, I have a good time. Every time I get to play a very small chunk of Avowed, I feel like a waste. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wasted my time. I feel like I could have done more bounties in Marvel Snap. I could have played something else. If I only get 30 minutes of Avowed, I don't play it.
Hmm.
If I got an hour of Avowed, maybe.
You want a full session.
I really, really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Story-based game, so yeah.
Well, it's RPG, yeah. It's story and quests and all these other things that you go on, and as you're going, you're discovering new things. I'm about to move into a different part of the map, and when I look at the map that I'm currently on, that I've spent a lot of time in since the game release, this is a lot of time in this little section of the map, I realize, hey, there's a good chunk of this map that I haven't gone through yet, you know? Like, I haven't cleared the fog on my map yet to see what's over there. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of places I have, but there is this good chunk on the left side of the island, or the land, whatever it is that I'm on. Mm-hmm. There's a good chunk on the left side that's still cloudy. I should go over there and explore that. I don't know that I'll find anything, but I should definitely go over there and explore that. And that's the best part of it, is going over there to explore things.
I was just about to ask you, do you know for sure that there's anything over there?
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue. But that's the cool thing, because throughout this game, I have sort of done the whole, let's just wander around, you know, mm-hmm. running into things that I shouldn't be running into, or running away from things that I wasn't supposed to run into. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, he's overpowered. I'm going to come back later.
All the Souls games let you know.
Although for now, given where I'm at and given the level that I'm at, mm-hmm. I think this area that I'm in is not giving me anything that I can't handle right now.
Okay.
There's some boss fight type things that I go through, but I got two companions now. I got some great magic that I can use. I got guns. I got a nice two-handed big axe thing mm-hmm. made of a hip bone of some other animal. I am enjoying that very much. So I'm not actually afraid of going over there to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading Thar-6. He says, there's just a few spots you can't clear all the fog, but mostly you can. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, there's no respawns. Right, you're exactly right. There are no respawns. When you clear out a section, they don't come back.
Hmm.
In other words, if you stumble upon a group of enemies in a certain area and you take them out, they're gone for good. You're not going to walk back into that area, you know, after you've closed the game and opened it back up or moved into a different section. Those enemies are not going to come back.
So you can't level up through way of
can't farm.
You can't farm. Okay.
Right.
Hmm. Some games that fits, others it doesn't. But it fits pretty good for you.
Does for me so far. Yeah. I've not had a need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had a need to farm anything or feel like I need to farm anything.
Well, not necessarily XP, but materials or anything like that. Is anything like that?
That's not been a problem at all.
Okay, materials.
Yeah, materials have not been a problem at all. Yes, I need materials to upgrade, but at the moment I'm kind of hanging on to things because then I can sell them or I can break them down for crafting, mm-hmm. and I just don't know, what do I want to do here? So far, now when I go into this next area, I don't know what I'm going to find because I haven't done that yet. I still have to have a private conversation with both of my companions. Both of them are saying, hey, we need to talk to you. So I got to have private conversations with them back at the camp, which is where I'm at currently right now. I want to go clear out that fog section of the other map, or not the other map, but the other side of the map. Mm-hmm. Once I do that, I'll likely move on into this next section. To give Thar-6 an idea of where I'm at, and anybody else who's playing the game, of where I'm at, I have currently solved the mystery of my character's fate, I guess you could say. I'm trying not to spoil things. But there's a thing that happens early on, and that's the mission. It's like, hey, find out who did this. Okay, I'm going to go find out who did this. And that's like the main story.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out who did it. I let them go. I don't know if I did right, but I had the opportunity, had a conversation with him, and I had the opportunity to, you know, just flat out attack him right there if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you guys just, you know, go. And they were very thankful. So then I went back and I told my boss, and he's really mad at me.
Did you get paid?
I don't know if I did or not. I think I did. I don't remember that because right when that conversation ends, a cutscene occurs and you meet a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And they present this character like some real, like a badass, you know. They start with this. First off, the screen fades to black and you hear this chunk, chunk, chunk. Like, what is that? And then it comes back and like the camera is focused on the iron feet, you know what I mean? Like the iron foot.
Like some dude walking in heavy armor.
This heavy armor dude, like, chunk, chunk. And I'm like, all right, what's this? And then, of course, you know, it raises up and there's fire in the eyeballs and stuff. And I was like, what the hell is this? Anyway, there's a whole conversation with that person. That person is also not pleased that I let these people go. But says that, you know, you need to go to, or they're going to continue doing their thing. I don't know. It's the person I was talking to originally was, I think, was called the ambassador. And this person is, I think, the inquisitor. And they seem to be much more higher ranking than the ambassador, or at least they're giving off that vibe. And so, yeah, they're sending me over to this other area. And I'm pretty sure it leads to the next section of the map. So, like, I'm in section, the first section, Dawnshore. And I can't remember what this next section is going to bring me to, but it says it there. I just don't remember in my head what the name of the place is. And so I'll have to go and discover that. I'm almost positive both of my companions want to have a conversation with me because of what I did earlier by letting that person go. I'm not necessarily... For the most part, if I can, I will actually not fight in the conversation senses. In other words, if I come across enemies while I'm out and about, yes, we're going to fight. If I come across another character where I have a conversation, and almost always in that conversation, depending on who it is, if it's somebody that I can fight, almost always there is an option in the conversation to say just, you know, something quippy and then attack them. You know, it's like, just do this and then attack them. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a possibility of a fight here. Let's see if I can talk my way out of it. Because usually if I can do that, there's benefits. You know, if I can persuade them to keep me alive, or not necessarily keep me alive, or leave, or do something. You know, if I can persuade it so that we don't go into a fight, there's usually something to benefit me in that regard. Usually. Not always, but usually.
Is there any stat that you have that will increase the chances of you doing that?
Yeah, I don't know, because...
I'm taking a fallout in charisma.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Thar6 says, you're ready to move on, but there's one of the best side quests in the game in that first area, so make sure you grab it. Maybe you did. It's hard to miss. Thar6, I don't... If you can hint at what the side quest is, I'd love to know. I don't know if I've done it yet or not. So I'm not sure which one you may be talking about. I've enjoyed every single side quest. I did the bounty board. I went through and I did the bounty board and stuff. That was fun to do. But yeah, so yes, there are traits of, like, right now I'm an arcane wizard. So I put a whole bunch of points into my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, typically a magic thing is something like intelligence or something like that to increase your mana or ability to learn or use magic and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'm reading Thar here, and I'm also trying to keep track. So yeah, I put a bunch in into the knowledge. Then I put another one into perception. I put a lot of points into perception and knowledge, but there's also, like, dexterity and there's like six different things. Right now, my arcane and my perception are, like, way up, very high. All the other ones are kind of low. And so sometimes I'll get a conversation choice that shows you ain't got enough to pick this. Yeah. And it doesn't tell me what it would say, but it tells me you don't have enough to pick this.
Oh, it's blotted out. You can't.
Yeah. It's there, but you can't see what it says.
You don't have the capacity to think of it right now.
Yeah, it gives you the stat. It tells you what stat you would have if you had it leveled up. You could reach this conversation, but it didn't tell you what the words are that you say. So I don't get... I don't get to see that or get to know what that is, but I'll always try and work out a deal first if I can before I have to do a fight. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. And then I got a fight. Now, Thar6 says, I asked him to hit me. He said, there's a boss-like NPC you meet, a big guy in a big area. Thar6, is this... I met him on, or at least I met a big dude on a street corner. And I talked to him, and he's like, look, I don't like you, but you're not doing anything that I'm going to get mad at right now. So you just keep, just know that you're being watched. If you mess up around this area, I'm coming after you, you know? Which, unfortunately, I messed up around that area. Well, I had to go talk to this guy who was being bullied by, I guess, members of this gang. And I tried to do the conversation to where we don't fight. I was more threatening than I was anything else. I was more like, you know.
You had that bone axe on you at the time, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I always do. Right now, that thing, I can swing and take out the grunts no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for some of the bosses, but yeah. But yeah, so I was over there talking to the apothecary, or at least the apothecary was getting bullied by these guys. And I can't remember I did it this morning, but I can't remember what the argument was. I just knew they got to leave him alone so I can have a conversation with this dude so he can tell me about this poison that he sold. Anyway, came to blows. I had to kill him. And all of a sudden, the entire area that I was in, all these red dots popped up on the screen. Because basically every NPC that was in that area suddenly was angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it suddenly became my enemy. And up comes Big Boy. And I really wish I didn't have to kill him, but I had to kill him. Because I wanted to feel like I could probably have more conversations with this guy rather than having to kill him, but I had to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Thar6 says, if you're on the map, press X or the equivalent. There's a pop-up that slides open, and it's a ticker for stuff you can find, like how many camps there are. Oh, that is very useful. Thank you. I'll have to look at that. I've never kind of explored that aspect to it. I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to look about that to see how many camps I may have missed, that sort of thing. That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take a look at that. That may help me to close out Dawnshore, at least close out Dawnshore for now. Mm-hmm. I don't have any more quests on my quest log for this. My only quest left is to go to the next area. But I feel like there's some NPCs or there's some other stuff that I could likely run into that would give me some quests within the area. Although, I mean, as much as I have uncovered on this map, it feels like I've really gone through it. So I love that. I love that. This is a really big map. This is a really big area. And this is just the first area of, I think, four.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got a lot more of this to do, I'm actually okay with it. But it's just like, wow. At some point, and I know this will happen, but at some point, I'm going to streamline my playing. I'm going to get to a point where I've leveled as much as I've leveled, or at least that I want to level.
Mm-hmm.
And side quests and things like that are just going to start to be like, I'm way more interested.
You want to get to the main story and things like
because
that.
I will tell you, as I'm doing this, and you know how I play, I usually go through all side quests first, then I hit the main story.
Yeah.
And as I'm hitting this main story that I'm doing right now, I'm enjoying that way more than I did any of the side quests. Some of the side quests are really cool. But for the most part, I'm more like I'm hooked into this now. It's like I want to find out what happens next in my story.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like as much as they packed in here, and let me tell you, if you get Avowed, it's on Xbox Game Pass and it's on PC. If you get Avowed and you like RPG games like this, I mean, if you like what Obsidian does, Fallout, New Vegas, things like that,
mm-hmm.
if you like what they do, I cannot recommend this game enough for you. If you really like that kind of playing, I can't recommend this game enough. I did the bounties. I did all of the bounties, at least on the bounty board in Dawnshore. Thar6 says to make sure you do all the bounties, and I did do those. So, and yes, they are fun. A lot of them cause you to explore, kind of let you go, you know, move around, you know, find places you normally wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's treasure maps, which I found some of those and figured out where treasure was, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm not necessarily worried, but, like, I do want to play other things. I'm not getting bored with Avowed. I'm really not.
Mm.
But, you know, I have a hankering to play, like, an Assassin's Creed game because Assassin's Creed is being talked about right now. I don't necessarily want to play Shadows at some point, sure, but I don't feel like buying a new game right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when the price drops, yeah.
Yeah. I do have Mirage. I think it's Mirage. Is that what it is? Is that the one they did? Is it Mirage?
I'm not really keen on...
It's the one they did last year. It was a very quick... It was a year before last, I think, actually. Mm-hmm. Thar 6 says the best fight in the game is a bounty later on. Are you talking about a bounty in Dawnshore or a bounty in one of the other areas? And, of course, it'll take a minute for you to get that one, but, you know.
Let's see. Mirage was October of 2023.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I have.
Okay.
I picked that up for, like, $20 on a sale at one point, so... I've got it on PC, and so I'm thinking, hey, you know what? It's been a minute since I've gotten into Assassin's Creed. The last one I played was Valhalla, and I didn't play much of that. And reading into it, it was mostly because there was a lot of bloat and just a lot of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily against that, but understand that when they started this open-world trilogy of Assassin's Creed with Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla... They just kept getting bigger as they went. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Origins, I do want to go back to at some point. I feel like the last time I played Origins, I feel like I was just getting into some good stuff, and I stopped playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of want to go back to that to play some more. Odyssey, they made it bigger and added more to it. And then Valhalla, they made it massive and added more to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to be something I'm probably going to go through just because... It feels like it's just too much. I can go through it, I guess, and just do the main storyline if I want to, but there's so much tied into it. You're upgrading your camps, you're recruiting people, there's a lot to it. You're upgrading your armor.
Yeah, it's like the thing about it, the side quests is, side quests is neither going to tell you a good story, or you have to do them in order to level up your characters so that you can do the main quest. I mean,
not to mention Valhalla has a whole other section that takes place on Asgard,
mm-hmm.
which is this whole other big area that you go through, which I had more fun in Asgard than I did anything else, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. The side quest is there to basically level up your character. That's why I was talking about farming earlier.
Yeah.
Ways to get the boosts and stats needed to get through the main story. So if the side quests are so compelling that it takes you away from the main quest long enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to try to do everything in the game, and that makes the game last longer, of course. But
that's true, and it also helps you to level up to be prepared for whatever the main storyline is going to bring you. Because most of the time, that main storyline is the one that's going to hit you with the heavy enemies.
Yeah.
However, the fact that you can just kind of walk around without unchecked, basically,
mm-hmm.
you can walk around everywhere you want to go unchecked, with the exception, I know in Dawnshore, I came to the exit like where they're telling me to go now. I've been to before,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't advance. In other words, I have to have the story to advance to the next area.
Past that area, yeah. Can you fast travel to it?
There is a fast travel location.
Okay.
This game does have fast travel. You can fast travel to their city markers, which every time you come upon a new area of a city, there's a marker that lights up. It's a beacon type thing. So you can fast travel to those. But there's also encampments all over the map as well that you can fast travel to any of those mm-hmm. if you want to do that. So I've been doing that as well. Lethal Migrant says, my favorite is the most broken one. Unity is a great game. I reinstalled Unity on my Ubisoft Connect, Origins, whatever it is. The Ubisoft the front loader thing, I installed Unity on there because I was looking to go back to that. It's a game I never played. I played it once to... I guess when it came out, I played it, and it was buggy as all hell.
Mm.
Oh, it was bad, dude. I mean, it generated memes. It was talked about. It was horrible. The optimization on it or whatever it was, that was the one where you saw just hovering eyeballs and a whole row of teeth and a tongue, but the rest of the face was gone, and there was this stringy hair. And so it was just it, nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't loading in everything else. It was horrible, the what they had done. Unity is widely regarded as the buggiest launch of any Assassin's Creed they've ever done. However, it's also cited as one of the best corrected Assassin's Creeds that they've ever done, because they did go back and fix all of that.
Yeah.
They went back and they put some good polish on that game, from what I remember. And so I wanted to fire it up and see and play it. This is back before they bloated the thing out with a bunch of side quests, before they made it an open world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was more of an open city type of thing, but before they made it open world. You know, and it's also got Notre Dame in there to look at. So, yeah. Yes, Lethal Migrant says that they used the game to rebuild Notre Dame. Yes, they did. That's what I've been playing. I would love to talk more about Avowed. I really would, but I'm just not enough. I'm not as far enough in it to really give you any more information than I've already given you. I will say, if you do play it, just explore. Just walk around. Don't try and rush the main story, especially at the beginning. Don't try and rush the main story. You're going to get a lot more out of it if you just go and explore.
Hmm.
That's it. Just go and explore. So that's what I'm doing. We should take a break here. So yeah, we're back at our more recent, I say our recent games. I think we're in September now, or August or something. I can't remember. This is music from The Legend of Zelda: Echoes of Wisdom, which is the Zelda game where you absolutely play as Zelda instead of Link in this one. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. To In-Game Chat. Just got a text from Dave. Old Dave, he's listening, or at least he's getting ready for work, but he'll be listening to the show on YouTube and wherever tomorrow, I think. And anyway, hey Dave. This music is from a game called Home Safety Hotline. I remember seeing a thing about this last year and totally forgot about it. Never even added it to my wish list, which is weird. I should have. It's kind of a strange, spooky type game.
Unique?
Seemingly. I'd have to go back and look at it again. But yeah, I just remember being very interested in it.
Yeah, well, unique, so it's got some good.
First, yeah.
It's got some good going for it now.
It's got a pull for me.
Yeah,
so
because we got a whole lot of clones and whatnot in the market.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. Home Safety Hotline is the name of it, for anybody who's interested. It's on Steam. And it's called Home Safety Hotline. It's got very, very retro type graphic type stuff to it. It is not like a platformer or a first person thing. It is. I'm not sure.
Initially, it says a horror puzzler.
Yeah.
Hearing noises, seeing things, call Home Safety Hotline. Our operators are standing by waiting to give you the answers you need to protect your home from all manners of pests and household hazards.
And you're the operator.
Yeah, you're the operator, yeah.
So you take these calls of people saying that there's some weird things going on in their home. So anyway, I'm very interested in that.
Get out the house.
Yeah, no.
What are you talking to me
just
for?
Just get out the house. I you know, it was one of those things when I was looking for the music, this came up, and I was like, oh, I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't, you know, during sales and all these other things, I haven't been looking for it. So anyway, I've added it to my wish list, and I'll pick it up during a sale.
I'm still looking at the screen of the video for it. There's a button on your operating screen that says put on hold.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think when you do that, you can hear them.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm not exactly mm-hmm. sure. But it was an interesting concept for a game, and I was really interested in it. So anyway, we've talked about what we've played. I guess we should move on to the news of the week, maybe, or at least some of the news of the week. I've actually gone through, this morning I went through and I read all the news that we had put in here. And, you know, let's do the Game Developers Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
That's about what we got time for right now before we jump into the other stuff. Let's see. I think that's the Independent Game something, the IGA, the Independent Games Festival Award, or awards took place. Trying to see, Excellence in Narrative, Caves of, I guess it's Quid or Quid? No, it's Qud? I'm not sure. Caves of K-U-D, or I'm not, sorry, Caves of Q-U-D. Q-U-D, I'm not sure what that is. Excellence in Design was Tactical Breach Wizards. I have that. It was pretty good. Haunty was excellent in visual art. I have played that. It's on Game Pass, or was on Game Pass many, many months ago. H-A-U-N-T-I-I, Haunty, was in there. Going to the Game Developers Conference Awards, Lifetime Achievement Award went to Sam Lake from Remedy, the old Max Payne guy. Pioneer Award went to Lucas Pope, which is, that's the guy that did Papers, Please.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Innovation Award went to Bellatro. Social Impact Award went to Life is Strange Double Exposure. Here's the interesting thing about that. There was no one there to accept the award for Life is Strange. You know why? The entire company was laid off.
Hmm.
The entire company was laid off.
Yeah.
And there was no one there to pick up the award. Best Design went to Bellatro. Best Technology went to Astrobot. Still a great game. For the past 4 weeks, they've been uploading new levels to the game. They're done now, but there was, you know, four new levels every single week for the past 4 weeks. Not four new levels, but one level per week for the past 4 weeks they would mm-hmm. upload. And a lot of fun to go through that. Really is a lot of fun. I hope they do more. In fact, it's so much fun, I've gone back to Astro's Playroom, which is the pack-in for the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back to play some of that because I hadn't before. Best Narrative was Metaphor ReFantazio. Best Audio was Astrobot. No disagreement there. Best Visual Art was Black Myth Wukong. Best Debut was Bellatro. And Game of the Year at GDC was Bellatro. So... Mm. Picked a winner on Bellatro, man.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great game. We're now about a year out, I guess, from that game's release, so. I thought that would take longer. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, man, we still got 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to take longer. All right, we'll jump into this. Is something I didn't read. I just read the headline. God of War, the television series, is already booked for 2 seasons. Amazon Prime Video is doing an adaptation of God of War. It's been in the works for a while. However, we are now getting word that we're going to get 2 seasons at least of the game, or the game, of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, but if season one is a bum, I guarantee you there will not be a season two. They will not throw money at a season two if season one just tanks.
I'm trying to think, isn't that the same situation that... That Velma show had? You're contracted for 2 seasons, and season one did not do well, but they still went ahead with 2?
They went ahead with 2, yeah.
Yeah, because they were contractually obligated to do so?
I think so, something like that.
So, yeah, it can happen, but if it's too much money involved in that first season, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Season two, mm-mm. We're not doing that.
So, yeah, we'll see about that.
So good luck to them.
Yeah. Minecraft Live, a Minecraft big thing was done today. And I know I don't really talk about Minecraft, but here's everything that was announced. Mojang Studios announced the name, launch date, and features of the first game drop of the year, as well as upcoming features in the second game of drop of the year. The first game drop of the year is called Spring to Life. It introduces a variety of updates to the overworld that will make biomes feel more immersive and alive. Spring to Life adds warm and cold variants of some of Minecraft's classic mobs. New ambient features like the glittering firefly brush, falling leaves, and whispers of sand, and more reasons to explore. The second game drop of the year includes the new Dried Ghast Block, the new Ghastling and Happy Ghast mob variants, and the Ghast Hornets. I don't know anything of what I'm talking about. I absolutely feel like one of our listeners right now, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But those of you who play Minecraft, perhaps you do. And if that is you, then this obviously is something you would need to be informed of. What else do we have? You know, it's all about these guests, and I'm just going to skip it because it just does not seem interesting at all. It doesn't, man. I thought it might be, but it's absolutely not. It's absolutely not worth it. That was something that happened after I'd already done the news, by the way. So that wasn't, I just put that in there because I thought, oh, we got Minecraft announcements. I wonder what's going to be in there. Oh, I forgot. I don't play Minecraft. I don't know what any of this stuff means. I have no idea. What else do we have that I can go over real quick? Oh, yeah. We're getting Pokemon Lego. And if you already thought we had Pokemon Lego, you're wrong. Those are some other form, like Duplo or something else. It's not, yeah, no, it ain't Lego. Mega Blocks or something like that. I'm not, yeah, it's Mega Blocks is what it was. But now, Lego has teased that they're going to be teaming up with Pokemon. There's no release date beyond 2026. There's no pricing. There's no other details. And, yeah, we don't know anything else. They just teased it, and we know we're getting it. So, yep. A page on the LEGO website simply states, LEGO Pokemon coming soon.
We're going to get the $200 legendary one.
Yeah, I know.
The big Pikachu.
The big Pikachu? Nah, yep. It ain't going to be me. You know.
Or just that big ball that they put them in.
Outside of maybe building a Pokeball, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on what they do. If they do one of moderate size.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of these big $300 Death Star-sized Pokeballs.
So they would make that.
Oh, absolutely they would.
It's popular enough to merit someone's going to pick that up.
If they make one about the size of like a grapefruit, you know, something that's, you know, not too big, then I might pick that up. You know, just for the iconic...
Something you could put together in a...
Iconography, I guess? Anyway.
Something you could put together in a relatively short time or whatever.
And not even a short time, just something that really signifies, like, that is Pokemon. And so, like, that is... rather than some giant Pikachu, which I would not do. So it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got my eyes set on other Legos at the moment. I'm looking at... I'm looking at anything with space. They have the Artemis rockets. They have the Discovery. They have, what's the other one that I, they've got the Concorde. Anything with airplanes, got the Concorde. They've got the Endurance, which is the ship that went through the Arctic. Mm. And I really like the look of that for that. But, I mean, there's loads of different Legos that I would be interested in.
Yeah.
Before I would look at Pokemon and say, yeah, you know what, that's where I'm going to put my money. No, not at all. But we're getting one, so there you go. yeah, Mega Bloks had released a bunch of Pokemon sets. They look nice. They're not too overpriced. This article here from Kotaku says, they look nice, they aren't too overpriced, though buying any Mega Block product always gives extreme store brand Fruit Loop vibes. And existing LEGO fans with extensive collections will want sets in which every little circle on each little piece has the world-famous LEGO or logo emblazoned on it. What's potentially bad for Mega Bloks could be great news for scalpers, who will now have genuine Toy World Rolexes to hawk instead of knockoffs. But we still won't know from some time how all this shakes out. Even if we get more information on the LEGO Pokemon sets this year, they aren't set to launch until next year. The company needs to make room for the other big branded mashups on its release calendar, like the LEGO Game Boy that is coming out this October. And there was also announced for Mario Day, there was a larger Mario Kart LEGO model that you could build of Mario inside his cart.
That, yeah.
That LEGO Game Boy, though. Yeah. I'm going to have to put in for that one. And it comes out in October, so there's a nice little thing happening around October that I could probably, put in a good word and maybe, ask for it. So, as we near the top of the hour here, I don't know where else to go in here in the news. Rainbow Six Siege X, it's getting an update. It's going to go free to play. That's great. I've never touched the game in my life. I feel like I'm talking about Minecraft again. They're doing a bunch of updates for Rainbow Six Siege, and they're actually going free to play with it. So, good on them. Is free to play going to get me in there? Nope, not in the least.
Is that Ubisoft?
That is Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, yeah.
Ubisoft is having an interesting time, and we're going to get into that later on, because the closer we got to the release of Shadows, the more weight felt like was on Assassin's Creed Shadows to hold this company afloat.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on that game.
Yeah.
Because Ubisoft is in dire need of some successes going
forward. Star Wars Outlaws did not do well for them. Mm-hmm. They absolutely are trying to look for a winner here. Shadows is doing well, given the numbers that they've told us, but I can't...
They've told us.
Yeah, well, they've said they've reached... I have to go look. I think it was 2 million players. It was either 2 million players or 2 million sold or something. I can't remember. The problem that I have with that is the fact that you can play this game, Assassin's Creed Shadows, any Ubisoft game, you can play when you subscribe to their service.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of buying the game, you just give them $20
rental fee,
and you can play it for a month.
Yeah, I mean, if you got let's say 2 million, like you said, how long could that number be sustained for? Because if it's like,
but I don't even know if that's counting the people who have Ubisoft Connect or the subscription service.
Yeah, but I'm saying give it over a few days, a week or so, when the game is done. It's like you said, is rental fee, and they just get rid of it. Is that number going to drop to 50% or drop 75%? I mean, if it drops below 75, if it drops over 75%,
Well, that's one of the things I've always been curious about with every Black Friday we talk about this. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft is the first company to do drops.
Yeah.
As far as the price is concerned. If the game released a week ago, no big deal. We're still dropping the price by like $20 or $30.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. But Ubisoft has always done it that way.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like if you just wait a while, Shadows will drop. Not to a permanent price, but they'll have a sale or something will go on.
Yeah.
You'll be able to pick this up.
I've read a few reviews that said the game is decent, but is it worth day one full price purchase? And they're like, not really.
See, I'm at the point now where...
You could put that with any game.
There's no game that I am there day one on.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before. But yeah, I'm in the same boat.
With the exception of
very few games that I'm willing to purchase.
Unless
day
it's like
one.
$15 or $10, and it's like, okay, sure, yeah, I'll give you $10 to try out if that's the case. Balatro, I bought day one. You know, there's been a few games that have been out day one where they've had such a discount where it's like, okay, that's sure.
Yeah.
I'll throw in the cash for that before you raise the price.
Yeah, and also there's been some titles that have come out where the companies have said, okay, this is not going where we want it to, so just, cut it. We got to get some money back from this. Veil Guard comes to mind.
Yeah.
Most recently.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Assassin's Creed Shadows is going to go the same route because of what Ubisoft is banking on it.
More than likely it won't, because they've got that aspect of first off, they've got to keep the head above water type things. Like, let's not discount this too quick. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We're at the top of the hour here. Got to take a break. When we come back, more of that discussion. We do want to go into that Assassin's Creed discussion there. We've got music here from Epic Mickey Rebrushed. Here is the title track for that. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat for some epic music. That comes from a game that I streamed, many months ago, Frostpunk 2. The name of that track is called Here Stands New London. Welcome back to the show, and yeah, I guess we ought to jump into the Assassin's Creed stuff, you know? Well, I do want to get to that GTA. I don't know if you saw that. Well, let's see, where are you at? You're on the... if you go down to that GTA store, the GTA 6 delay and stuff, we'll get into that as kind of like a last little bit, but that was interesting to think of. And I'll tell you, we'll tell you about that coming up later on as to GTA 6 and why not knowing what the release date of that game is scares other publishers and developers. So we'll go into that a little bit later on, but I want to hit up Assassin's Creed right now and talk about that. So, let me find all my stories for Assassin's Creed. Yeah, there it is. It's coming from an analyst. So, I mean, it's not necessarily coming from Ubisoft, but you can kind of look at the track record that Ubisoft has had recently.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, I can just go through this. The analyst told Reuters... that it's kind of an existential moment here for Ubisoft. The company's stock price reached a 10-year low in 2024 following the disappointing sales of Star Wars Outlaws. The analyst believes if Shadows can do really well, whatever that term means...
Yeah, that's vague.
As far as sales, that could go a long way toward repairing the financial position that Ubisoft is currently in. It's said that Ubisoft is in negotiations with potential business partners to help the company turn things around, including good old Tencent from China. It recently came to light that Ubisoft might be looking at selling off individual game franchises. Microsoft and EA are said to be in the mix for that as well, but Ubisoft has not commented on any of that. So we're not exactly sure what is going to be happening with this, and again, we've talked about this, we don't know the numbers. And that's kind of, let's see. Man, let me tell you. My fingertips. Assassin's Creed Shadows has passed 2 million players.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the the $20 program that you play on Ubisoft there.
Right. What I was looking for was the story on this. So yeah. Ubisoft has hailed another Assassin's Creed Shadows player milestone, but has yet to confirm a sales figure. So it's players, not sales.
Yeah.
Ah. In a social media post, Ubisoft said Shadows had seen 2 million players since its release on March 20th. That was up from the 1 million players on day one. Now it's at 2 million players. That's enough to surpass the launches of Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey. But it's only talking about player count. That's not talking about sales.
Yeah.
We don't know how many of those 2 million people are...
The numbers that matter, really, in this case, yeah.
Shared accounts. Accounts and subscription services.
Yeah.
We don't know any of that. But they've had 2 million people playing the game. At the time of this article's publication, Assassin's Creed Shadows was on... 58,894 concurrent players on Steam, which was enough to break into the top 30 most played games on Valve's platform. That's fine. Keep in mind that when you do play Assassin's Creed Shadows on Steam, it does open up the Ubisoft app in order for you to play. That peak is expected to rise as we continue into the game's opening weekend. For comparison, Origin's all-time Steam peak was 41,000, and that was over 7 years ago. Odyssey got up to 62,000. It seems likely that Shadows will become the most played game on Steam later this weekend. If they're at 58,894, they got to beat 62,069, and if that's the case, I think they will. The Veil Guard launched on Steam back on October 31st. Its peak got up to 89,000 on Valve's platform, and we see what happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the amount of people playing your game doesn't necessarily mean... that you've made whatever...
It's doing good financially.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean that it's sold that many. It just means that many people are playing the game.
Yeah. I mean, and I look at the... like I was talking about the subscription service earlier, and I'm
looking
at...
Which EA has another one, by the way, for Dragon Age.
Yeah. And I'm looking at your... this ad next to the article we're looking at, Assassin's Creed Shadows, $70 to buy. Man...
Oh, I can.
And if you're unsure about a title, and if you got a subscription service, it's easier to hit that rental fee as to pay $70 outright.
Yeah, you know, I've considered it a time or two to just pay a monthly fee and then play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I would end up paying for a second month, to continue playing the game. I don't think I would finish it in a month.
Yeah,
that's my problem with it. Like, I do want to play Shadows. I want to play Outlaws. And when Outlaws drops enough, I'll eventually pick it up and play it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and same for Shadows.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm looking at it $54 on one of the key shops going around. Mm-hmm. A place called Instant Gaming has it for $54, if you want to do it that way. Yeah. Still not doing that, though. What else is on sale? Anytime I go to gg.deals, I have to look at everything to see what else is on sale. Because I'm like, am I missing anything? Ooh, The Thing Remastered. Yeah. The Thing Remastered being $23. You drop down to 15 and I'm likely to pick you up.
Yep.
But $23, I'm not really probably going to be doing that. What's on my wish list that might be on sale right now? It's a good price. Besieged. Besiege is $2.30. That's not a bad price. Manor Lords, which is a city builder type thing, that's at $18. That's not bad. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, that is $40 basically. There's some good stuff, but I'm not, nothing really sticking out as like, hey, get this. No, I'm good. So, but yeah, for Assassin's Creed, they've hit 2 million players, but we don't know anything about that. And to bring up the example of Dragon Age, yes, it had 89,000 people playing at peak on Steam. And that's just one. That's just Steam. That doesn't count the people who are playing it on EA's storefront or who are playing it on their Xbox storefront on games for Windows or for Xbox or for PlayStation 5. It doesn't cover any of those. It only covers Steam as having 89,000 people playing. So even throwing that in. And if you were to even double, not even say, sure, double that number and put that on the consoles, still didn't sell enough to do what they needed it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say it was a bad game. It just didn't sell very well.
Yeah.
I don't remember reviews for Dragon Age Veilguard, to tell you the truth. I think I saw some people liked it, some people didn't, but that sounds like any game in the world. Some people liked it, some people didn't.
Mm. And then, of course, if a game gets enough controversy, you won't be able to trust those reviews anyway.
No, you won't.
Because you're going to get a bunch of absolute tens and then absolute zeros, and you don't know what to believe. You're just going to have to see for yourself.
There's enormous pressure on Assassin's Creed Shadows to do well for Ubisoft globally after multiple delays, which, yeah, there was a delay for the game. And the sales failure of last year's Star Wars Outlaws. Indeed, Ubisoft suffered a number of high-profile flops, layoffs, studio closures, and game cancellations in the run-up to Shadow's release. Things got so bad at Ubisoft that its founder, the founding family of the company, and the largest shareholder are exploring talks with Tencent or other investors on a buyout deal that would let them keep control, but would sell the company to somebody else, but keep them in control. I don't see that that's happening. Nobody wants to do that, man.
What's that phrase? Have your cake and eat it, too.
That's basically what they're looking for. Assassin's Creed Shadows. Let's see. What does this say? In a remarkable exchange this week, Japanese politician and member of the House of Counselors of Japan raised the issue of Assassin's Creed Shadows in an official government meeting. Wow. I don't know what it was about, though. It doesn't go into what that was about. On Steam, at least, Assassin's Creed Shadows is going down very well. It goes into the numbers again. The Assassin's Creed Shadow review for IGN got an 8 out of 10. It's done very well from what I remember. Let's check out Metacritic. I want to see what the scores were for Assassin's Creed Shadows. If I can. This is giving me... There we go. There's the old Assassin's Creed Shadows. Metascore has an 81. Based on 77 critic reviews, it's sitting at an 81. Based on 1,400 user ratings, it is sitting at 5.7. So... It's got an 85 on Xbox, an 81 on PS5, and a 78 on PC. I mean, overall, it's positive. If you look at the critic reviews, overall, it is a positive review of the game. I don't think it'll be enough to... I think they'll still look at it as a flop. Or just another one. I don't want to call it a flop, honestly. But I think they'll look at it like they looked at Star Wars Outlaws. Maybe a little bit better than Star Wars Outlaws. Mm. Just because Star Wars has a built-in fan base, but so does Assassin's Creed. So, yeah, I think... However, Star Wars Outlaws was doing something different with the franchise that they hadn't done, which is like, hey, here's a brand new character you've never heard of before. That you get to play as, and, you know, I'm not sure that was any kind of a problem with it, but, yeah.
I thought a little something about the Japan Parliament talking about what they had with the...
Was it the desecration of different...
Yeah, something like that. It says,
yeah,
I got a piece of an article here. Members of Japan's government brought up Ubisoft's recently released Assassin's Creed Shadows in Parliament, saying some of the game's contents are disrespectful to Japan's culture and heritage. Officials specifically pointed out how players can destroy sacred religious shrines within the game and how villagers within these shrines can be slaughtered by players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part.
They've actually gone back and they've corrected that.
Mm-hmm.
They issued a patch in the game that would correct. I remember reading about this because it said, hey, you can no longer deface the property of certain places within the game.
Mm-hmm. It goes further on to say, additionally, officials pointed out how Ubisoft didn't obtain permission from the organizations and relevant regulatory bodies to put the shrines and landmarks in the game, claiming Ubisoft took them without permission. Ubisoft now has addressed some of these concerns by Japan's government in a day one update.
Yeah.
So that as well.
It's interesting that they can't. It's like when they did Origins, did they go and talk to the government of Egypt, Cairo? Hey, can we put those in our game? Hmm. Do you have to?
It's kind of related to that Pal World thing article you got in here as well.
I've never really considered it, but I obviously understand.
Maybe that things have changed and you have to now.
Yeah. I kind of understand in I guess the game takes place in Japan, right? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
First off, I don't know the culture of Japan enough to give you they're overdoing this or this is very respectful and they shouldn't have done it in the first place. I can't say either way on this. I do not know. Mm. Knowing what I do know of the little bit I do know of Japanese culture, very, very, very protective of their religious culture.
Mm-hmm.
Which mixes in a little bit with their government culture type as well, you know, because of kings and rulers and things like that, but very, 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 very serious when it comes to their religious. I don't want to say artifacts, but their temples. They're like you
temples,
were talking
shrines,
about
shrines, yeah,
temples and shrines and things like that. Like Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah,
I'm curious if they went out and got any permission to use any spots. I don't know. I don't know if there's any sort of real life landmarks within Ghost, other than locations.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're on this piece of land that existed this many years ago. Here it is. You know, mm-hmm. You're on that area. It was, you know, an encampment at that sort of part of the land there that many years ago?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is it actual temple or generic temple?
Right.
Yeah, based on pictures.
And I don't know if Ghost. I don't know if Ghost did that or not.
I don't know if that was. I really can't recall if that was based on authentic locations or not.
Right.
Because the whole thing was beautiful, so it could have been a whole thing made up. Mm-hmm. Just say it's in this area and make it all up. I don't know for sure.
But the thing about Assassin's Creed games that we've always done is they've always been very authentic to the location.
Yeah.
They may not have been very authentic with the characters that they've used and everything, with the story or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in relation to the location,
mm-hmm.
it's been very, very authentic with it.
Yeah.
Look at any of them. I mean, we just talked about...
Yeah, you just talked about Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used it to help rebuild Notre Dame. Did they have to go and get permission to use Notre Dame when they used it, when they put it in the game? Which, again, you're talking about a completely different country.
Mm-hmm.
Who may say, there it is, do with it as you will and whatever you use it in. Whereas Japan, not so much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's there, but you can't put that in your painting. You can't put that in your TV thing. You can't put, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there are strict rules about the depictions of certain temples within media. Not just outside the country, but within the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Seeing how Nintendo protects their property, it has to come from somewhere.
It's a good point as far as the way Nintendo is clamped down on what they, you know, what they allow.
Mm-hmm.
In the use. That's a really good point. So, yeah, maybe that's where it comes from. Mm. Maybe that's what it is. Good on Ubisoft, or at least the team over who are doing Assassin's Creed Shadows, to do an update and say, oh, sorry about that. Here. There. Can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? Which is great. That's fine if you could do that. And luckily, I guess there's nothing story-bound for you to do it in there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, this is where you enter the temple, and it's a big story set piece where... You know, you have to, I don't know how the game plays. I don't know if you have to, you know, sneak in and kill somebody while they're in their temple or something. I have no idea. So, but not anymore, you can't. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I don't know about any of that. I am interested in playing the game.
I do want to see the numbers, sales numbers, though.
I do. Yeah. I do want to see sales numbers, not player numbers. I want to hear about sales numbers. I mean, the game just released Tuesday, so we're not going to get that until a good while away from here.
Yeah.
If it's great, we'll get it very soon. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, one thing that does not get a delay is the announcement that you have sold, you know, 30 million copies of a game or 6 million copies. You know, that is not something you wait on.
Yeah.
You put that out as soon as you can. So the fact that we're getting this is how many people are playing the game rather than this is how many people have bought the game likely tells you a story as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know the numbers. So this is just speculation on my part to thinking that if they had good sales numbers, they would release good sales numbers. Mm-hmm. They could release it along with the player numbers if they want to. But at the same time, if you're going to say that there's 2 million people playing our game, but only 30,000 copies sold, you know, that number doesn't line up.
This reminds me of the time when Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
That one of the things that people were saying was, look how many copies are on the shelves for this game to counteract the numbers selling and things like that. But that's kind of hard to do because everything was going digital.
Yeah.
At that point, really.
You can't really judge by that because even if you look at, well, for one,
sorry.
When you walk into a video game store, you're not going to see 8 copies of a game on a shelf. You're going to see 1 copy of a game on a shelf. You're going to take it to the front. They're going to give you the game, and then they're going to put the another thing out there for you to pick from.
Yeah.
They don't put... Now, used copies, they absolutely do.
Yeah.
Used copies, they'll put a bunch of them up there if it's used, so you just grab that.
Yeah, but I think the one they used in the example I was talking about was a Best Buy, where they put all of them up there.
Best Buy put
all of them up there. Or on a shelf, and they got them in behind that glass and stacked up in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's what they were showing, that you were completely in stock for that. But like we said, a lot of folks were going digital at that point anyway. So
you're exactly right.
So you couldn't do it that way.
You can't do it that way. You can go into, I think Walmart does it, Target, like you said, Best Buy.
Yeah.
I think all of those stores, you know, usually have some kind of case where you can look and see like, oh, they got a couple of copies of this or ever how many copies they've got or they've got none at all. But a place like GameStop doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So.
I remember what was Toys R Us's method? The stickers.
Pull the little tag off.
Yeah. And walk to the person in the back.
It's like you were taking your winnings from Vegas and going to the cage.
Yeah.
And like, here you go. I'd like to exchange this voucher for a game, please.
Yep.
But that was the first place. So there were, whenever I was, because I couldn't drive because I'm a kid, whenever I was taken to Toys R Us, for whatever reason, the two places that I would go to the most inside of Toys R Us, and I don't know why this is because I'm an only child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Board game section. I would always go to the board game section and look at the board games. And they would all look great and look colorful, and they would attract my eye, and I'd be like, that'd be great. I can't play any of these. It's just me. That's great. Next place I would go to, the video game section, of course. And you would see that wall of game box art, voucher pocket underneath where you pull out a little ticket out from it and then take it to the cage to get it exchanged.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Good times.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I remember, you know, Toys R Us is where I got Super Mario Brothers 3.
Mm-hmm.
The night it launched. I got it. The only thing I can remember, I remember I was with my mom. It was dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
We got it from Toys R Us because at that time, really, if you wanted, you had to go into Montgomery to get it. Like, I live in Prattville. That's 20 minutes away. And at that time, you had Walmart and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart really wasn't on that bandwagon, I guess, at the time or something about it. I just, for whatever reason, I was getting it at Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Maybe they were doing an early launch or what. I don't know what the case was. Mm-hmm. But it was dark outside. I was in the car, and I turned on that little light that you could see, and I read the instruction manual all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
and then got to play the game when I got home.
Yep.
But I remember that. I think that's the only game I can remember getting at Toys R Us, although I'd want to say I got more from there. But I do remember that one.
Yeah.
Might have been DuckTales. I might have gotten DuckTales as well from there. In fact, I may be getting confused. I maybe have gotten DuckTales and read that one all the way home instead of Super Mario 3. I can't remember. Yeah.
I think the last one I bought from Toys R Us was Panzer Dragoon Saga. But I remember the lady behind the counter was confused because she kept telling me Panzer Dragon Saga. And I'm like, no, ma'am, it's Dragoon. Two O's. Dragoon Saga. And she came back again and says Dragon again. That's it. No. And I had to spell it out. And she said, oh, okay, that's the one you wanted. That's
but
one
you
I got.
Knew what she meant, though.
I knew what she meant, but she kept saying Dragon.
I know.
I said, yeah.
I called it Panzer Dragon for a long time, too.
Yeah, that was the last one I got from Toys R Us, but that was a good method then. But yeah, not the method to verify how well your sales are going, but until those numbers come out, I'm going to be skeptical of anything they tell me.
And they may never.
Yeah. Especially if it's not good.
For the most part, yeah. That's how it works. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll jump into some more news here. Got music from a game. That's a game I'll open that back up during the break here. Game called UFO 50. It's on Steam, but it is a collection of 50 games. Games you haven't heard of, not games. Mm. There were games that were specifically made for this collection.
Mm.
And the way you play it, you can play it, I think, in any order you want to, but if you play it in the order that they give it, a narrative starts to form with every little game that you play.
Mm-hmm.
There are all these little mini games that you play, about 50 of them. And they start in, like, the early times of video games, where it's, like, just some dots, on the screen. And then and then the next game you play might be something from the 8-bit era, maybe something from the 16-bit era, and then you move on. So you keep going into these things. But a narrative forms, and I don't know what it is, but I've heard a lot of good talk about, like, hey, that's one of the most innovative games that I've played. Because of the way it does it. So we've got music here from UFO 50. I had a massive amount of tracks I could pick from this game because each little game has its own music with it that also represents the time period with what it represents. But I basically just went with the main menu music here. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chats right after this. Again, to In-Game Chats. That is music from Broken Sword, Shadow Templars. It is the main theme. This just had a remaster. Tried to find the music from that, but went ahead and just got the original one because I couldn't find the remaster music. But welcome back into the show. We were talking about Assassin's Creed. You know what? Steam had a really good year. 1.7 million Steam users. Oh, this is the... Okay, this was interesting. So Valve tracked... This is how much, obviously they keep an eye on you, but it's their storefront. They're going to keep an eye on you from that. So Valve went back to 2023 and looked at everybody who signed up and joined Steam in 2023. 1.7 million Steam users that joined Steam in 2023. What they wanted to do we'll see how many of those people stick around. And if they do stick around, what do they do with their time?
Mm-hmm.
They looked at people who came in on like a big AAA game release and made an account on Steam and bought that game and played that game, and then they followed them for a year to see, like, what happens. What did they do? To gather data illustrating the effectiveness of the approach, we went all the way back to 2023 and identified the biggest 20 releases of that year. We looked at every new first-time purchaser generated by those products for a total of 1.7 million new users. So of those 1.7 million new accounts generated by the biggest releases of 2023, they followed them from what they did from January of 24 to March of 25. They went on to enjoy more than 141 million hours of playtime in additional games on top of all the playtime they put in on the game that actually got them into the store. They weren't just playing games. They were also buying new ones, too. All of those players have gone on to spend $20 million on in-game transactions across hundreds of other games, plus another $73 million on premium games and DLC across thousands more products. So that's just from the 1.7 million users that they tracked in 2023 that spent that kind of money. $73 million in a year. Just from the 1.7 million, of which I'm not a part of, but I absolutely contributed to whatever, you know, that and you did, or, you know, everybody has, who was on Steam. They probably bought a game last year on Steam. $5, sale, dollar, whatever. They probably did. Or they got a gift card and they used that to buy, you know. So the money was spent. Not only did these New Year's users stick around beyond their initial purchase, but they went on to spend a further $93 million in just over a year. That's about $55 a piece, which if you're sensible about what, when and what you buy on Steam, that could be more than just one game. You know, $55, that could easily be a, you know, three or four games, depending on what kind of sale you do, depending on what you buy. Valve reckons that this kind of stat proves that Steam isn't just a storefront. It provides social community, game discoverability, interactive events, and a deep set of game-enhancing features to attract and retain players who will be checking out new games in the future. Social community, maybe. I don't feel that as much as I used to. And the only way I used to feel social community was back during the sales. Back when the sales were surprises.
Yeah.
Back when every day you had something that was new on sale. It wasn't just like, here's the entire store, it's on sale, you know, things or whatever. You used to have those little daily deals that only lasted for 6 hours, deals that only lasted for 12 hours, and deals that only lasted for 24 hours. And it was one of those things where it's like, you better get it now. It might show up at the end of the sale in a greatest hits package, but you better grab it now if you see it discounted.
Yeah.
That part was fun. And I'm not saying sales aren't fun. It was the whole aspect of what it was. They could be running the same thing that they're running now, but they just did it in a more entertaining way back then because you didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, Steam sales was a thing. I think we talked about it a few months ago about how Steam sales weren't as fun as they used to be.
Yeah.
They used to mean, Steam sales used to mean something earlier in its existence. I mean, that sudden price drop, and you're scrambling to pick it up. And telling all your friends about it. Hurry up and pick this thing up.
Exactly. It sounds like nothing now, but I remember picking up Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The big old Sleeping Dogs Edition, because there was a price error on Steam, and I think it was $3.
Oh, snatch that up.
Yes. A lot of us snatched that up, and we kept it, too.
Yeah. That's one of the games on my backlog. I mean, it's what I think I bought the Definitive Edition at a discount, and it was pretty good. I haven't finished it yet, but from what I played of it, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, the reason was because you were there watching the countdown clock for when it was going to roll over to, here comes the new deals, what are we getting?
Yep.
And boom, there it is. And for whatever reason, like, Sleeping Dogs was cheap. I mean, under $5.
Yeah.
Either $5 or even less.
Definitive Edition.
Yeah.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, which right now you can get that for almost $5 without a sale.
Yeah.
But back then, whenever they were doing it this way, that was not the case. And so, yeah, I picked that thing up fast clicking for that one. So, anyway, it was a good little statistic, little study that Steam had done to kind of follow players around and figure out, all right, what else did they do there? So, what else do we have? We talked about the Legos. Ew, you know, we're talking about basketball. Did you see where EA is going to increase their payment to players who appear in college football?
I saw that article, yeah.
Yeah, they are basically doubling the rate. Actually, more than that. Last year, they paid athletes $600 to appear in College Football 25. This is the whole, by the way, for those of you listening, this is the whole NIL thing. Name, interests, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's name, interest, and likeness. Isn't that what that's called?
Image, and likeness.
Name, yeah. Image, and likeness.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with it. So, yeah, they're upping that price now to $1,500 if they opt to appear in College Football 25. Or, I'm sorry, 26 would be this year's new one. So, yeah. Additionally, players will receive a deluxe edition copy of the game. This was also offered when they did College Football 25. More than 11,000 student athletes appeared in College Football 25 through name, image, and likeness deals, with EA spending more than $6 million to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
A spokesperson told The Athletic that EA will double its payment to players to more than $16.5 million. So they paid $6 million last year. They're going to pay up to $16.5 million this year to get into the game. Which, by the way, last year, College Football 25 was the number two best-selling game of the year. Yeah. In the United States. Black Ops 6 was the number one, but College Football 25 was number two.
Mm-hmm.
So you better believe they're going to up that number for the amount of money they're paying for the NIL. The College Football 26 is in the works right now. It's expected to launch in July. So, yeah. What else do we have? Game developers have launched the North America's first industry-wide union, which anyone can join. And I hope that goes well for them. I really absolutely do. Game companies do need that union. Where did I read? Oh, I was doing... Okay, so... For those of you who just keep this on in the background, you know that I do the random facts segment on our Monday through Friday show that we do in here. And I was collecting new ones this week, and I came across one talking about crunch.
Yeah.
And every game goes through crunch. I can't imagine what Assassin's Creed Shadows, the kind of crunch they went in, especially after the delay that they had.
The delays, the fixes, the things, the back and forth over and over again, yeah.
See, here's the thing. When a game gets delayed, understand that the developers were already going through a crunch before that delay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were crunching to kind of make that, to make that release date.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason they moved the release date is because they looked at it and said, even with crunch, we're not going to reach this. We need to delay. We need to push back. Pushing it back may alleviate a little bit, but I think they just stay in crunch.
Mm-hmm.
On up till the release. So, it's always, when a game gets delayed, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the developers are concerned, you might say it's worse for the company because they had to put more money into it or something like that, but the people actually working on the game, it's just worse for them. Just massively worse. Because they're thinking, oh gosh, all we got to do is make it to this date where we go gold and we'll be there. Nope. We got to work some more,
mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, you're going to get paid some more, But you got to endure that crunch, which is, again, goes back to why I am, you know, glad that a union is starting up, and hopefully more will start up too. Mm-hmm. For the game developers, crunch is a horrible thing. It's something I wish was not a part of the game industry. It's something I wish was outlawed, or at least illegal, or something. Like, you can't do that to people. Mm. But nope. So hopefully these unions will come in there and say, yeah, you can't do that to us anymore. It's going to take a lot of work to make that happen, but hopefully we get to a point where that's not the case, where we don't have to worry about crunch. No developer, unless, you know, voluntarily, I suppose. But even if you offer it voluntarily, that's not a good look either. Because then it's like, well, they're going to do it. Why aren't you going to do it?
Yep, exactly.
And then they get, I don't know. It's just, that's why it's like, just don't do it at all if you don't need to. What else? Okay, let's go into the GTA thing. This was an article by PC Gamer. The near future plans of many game studios depend on whether or not Grand Theft Auto 6 actually releases this year. If you make the wrong guess, it could be disastrous. If you're a game company who's holding its breath, waiting for GTA 6 to get out, and then it gets delayed by 3, 4, 5, 6 months, what do you do? You either have to be able to launch into that big black hole that the GTA 6 has left, or you have to extend your run rate by an additional 6 months, and that's not going to help out. A lot of companies won't be able to do that. GTA 6 is still scheduled to launch this year, by the way. PC, that'll be sometime down the road, but PlayStation, Xbox, still scheduled to release this year on those systems.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the parent company who releases, what is it, Rockstar does GTA.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of Rockstar is Take-Two, right? Not 2K. Is it Take-Two or 2K? Hang on, I'm looking up here. Take-Two.
Okay.
Yeah, Take-Two. So they own that. They know when they're going to release GTA 6, or at least they have an idea of when GTA 6 is, they're looking to release it.
Mm-hmm.
They announced Borderlands, again, owned by Take-Two. Borderlands 4 is releasing September 23rd of this year. That kind of puts an idea of, well, they're not going to put a game that's going to go head-to-head against, you know, whatever. You also wouldn't release your game that late in September and then release GTA in, like, November and just kill
all the momentum,
the holiday sales,
yeah,
of Borderlands 4, which is a big release because of the fact that it's Borderlands and it's the fourth one in the franchise. Borderlands is a big series, regardless of what you may think. There's a good built-in fan base for it. So that's a big thing to do. So that kind of puts speculation thinking, okay, maybe GTA 6 isn't getting released. What you don't want to do is release the same time or around the same time or within the first 3 or 4 months of GTA 6 releasing, especially towards a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to get the eyeballs or the dollars that GTA 6 is going to bring in. All of that's going to go to GTA 6. So without having that release date, a lot of companies are like, well, when do we release our game? You know, Assassin's Creed getting released in March sure helps them out for not releasing it in the later in the month to get overshadowed by possible GTA 6 and then really tank.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft knew better than to do that, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is scheduled to be released in the fall. I mean, I guess I could look it up, but even then, it's not that it's scheduled to be released. It's all tentative at this point. You don't know if it's going to get released or not. It'll be TBA, that sort of thing. Who knows? And GTA 6 is on that list.
Yeah, I'm in the mindset of any AAA title is going to be pushed back at least once.
Well, that's the other thing. That goes into this article. He hopes that the games industry as a whole could get a boost from GTA 6's release, which, if nothing else, will probably get a lot of people to upgrade their consoles. But he doubts that industry execs are going to be all smiles this fall, whatever happens. You do hear a lot of people who are saying that GTA 6 is going to rejuvenate the market. And I think that there's an element of truth to that, but I don't know that it's necessarily going to be universally uplifting. It will certainly have an effect. It'll put eyes back on the games market from investors, but everybody that we're talking to, their ship's trying to move out of the way of this big iceberg that is GTA 6. Everybody's trying to pull their game forward, push their game back. Their strategy is to get out of the way. So if that's what everybody's behavior is, then how do you believe that this is going to rejuvenate the games industry? He gave a talk at GDC, which happened this weekend, with his latest industry report. But games get delayed. I don't know.
Yeah. No one's willing to compete with GTA 6.
Yeah.
Obviously. So, yeah, so that rejuvenation thing, rejuvenation is there when people compete. You got more times when people compete. You want competition there.
But nobody competes when GTA 6 releases.
Ain't nobody going to try to compete with that.
You don't touch it.
You don't touch it.
If GTA 6 is itself delayed to spring or summer 2026, those developers could end up having to push their release dates even further out. A setback like that could be disastrous for a studio whose finances are already not great. And given the number of closures that we've seen in recent years, financial fragility doesn't seem rare. On the other hand, a last-minute delay would be a big opportunity for anybody who can jump in and fill that void. There's a lot of money riding on what Rockstar decides to do before the year ends. And, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see on that because they have not announced anything yet. I think Wario posted something not too long ago that we might be getting another trailer, for GTA 6 coming up next month. Maybe. When next month, I don't know. Rockstar doesn't necessarily have the whole, Call of Duty always releases a trailer usually during the, either the NBA Finals or March Madness that's going on right now, the championship games. You'll get movie release trailers during those. You'll get video game release trailers during those, stuff like that. Rockstar doesn't fall. They don't do that. Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, they put those trailers out whenever they feel like it. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have to adhere to that rule. That's how big they are. They don't need a basketball game, a football game. They don't need a big event for the massive public to get eyeballs on their game.
Yeah,
the public will find it.
Yeah,
they don't have to.
Yeah, all they got to do is say, "Hey, enjoy."
Yeah,
and just walk off. And that's all. And the public will take care of the rest.
Yeah, they don't have to do any of that sort of thing. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out for GTA 6.
Yeah.
It'll also be interesting to see how it plays out for other game companies. I guess we got What is this? It's the 22nd. We're a little over 2 months away from whatever E3 is. Summer Games Fest. I don't know what it's called anymore. But we're a little over 2 months away before the big summer months hit and we start getting game announcements, game reveals. Usually within those, we get release date reveals too. We'll have to see how the fall and the rest of the year is shaping up at that. Especially if we don't have a release date yet for GTA 6. Now, this trailer that's supposed to release in April, maybe it's a release date trailer. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I was looking up some of these titles for upcoming video game releases. Not many. I mean, I see September and October. I only see like four titles. Hell Is Us, Borderlands 4, Directive 8020, and Double Dragon Revive.
And none of those are likely set in stone either.
No. Because there's a whole bunch of to-be-announced list below that. So, yeah.
That's because a lot of them are either not ready to reveal yet, or they're also kind of waiting to see what happens with GTA 6.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about this with Rockstar, with GTA specifically.
Yeah.
Red Dead, I don't think you had this problem. But GTA, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
based on how successful GTA 5 was. I mean, my goodness, you got a
Is you got
a tough act to follow?
Massively tough act to follow. Massively tough act to follow. Speaking of acts to follow, we got to follow ourselves out the door. That is it for us. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We're going to get this show uploaded tomorrow morning on the YouTubes and the iTunes. But thank you so much for joining us this week here on In Game Chat. I leave you with a game. Normally, I go to Astrobot. I forgot to do that this week. So this is from a game called ARA, A-R-A. It's the main theme for the game, and we'll see you next Saturday. Have a great one.